listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Isn't God good? Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. God is so good on this Monday night. Amen. Look at y'all. Look at your neighbor and say, you look good. Just tell them. You don't have to lie, but tell them. You look good. You look good. You look good. Look at your other neighbor and tell them that they look good. Considering all you've been through, you look good. Amen and amen. Well, I'm excited about the presence of the Lord tonight. And I guess they've just left this down here because they know that I'm not going to stay up here. So maybe that's what the point is. So I'm going to oblige that and come out of the blinding sunlight anyway. And God has been so good to us. And man, you know, what an amazing group of people here on a Monday night. Amen. My gosh, you know God is on the move. If you can get this kind of people to come out on a Monday night. How many of you are here tonight? And I don't like doing this very often, but I'll do it tonight. How many of you are here for the very first time? You're a first-time guest here. Look at all these people. Praise the Lord. Now stand up and tell us where. No, I'm just joking. We won't do that. But, man, God is so good, and we're hoping that, typically speaking, that as revivals and services go forward, they generally grow as they go. Amen. And so I can't even imagine what we're going to do tomorrow if more people come tomorrow night and then more people come on Wednesday night. By the time it's all said and done, we might go Thursday night and cancel a wedding on Friday. No, we won't do that, but praise God. Keep on trucking. Who knows what the Lord may do. Amen. And we are here for a purpose, and that is so that God will speak to us and to minister to us and to establish us in a special place with Him that we've never been before. How many of you want to go higher in God? Amen. And we know that there's more to experience in God. That how many of you know that no one in this room has experienced all there is to know of God? Amen. God is so big and so amazing that there is yet more to experience than what we've already are at right now. And hey, I want to say this real quick. I want to say a special thank you to my greatest friend on the planet, besides Pastor Joe, of course, Jono. Nobody has came as far as Jonathan Kalinda. He came all the way from Canada today, drove 7 hours to try to surprise me for my birthday. Amen. And so that is my birthday gift today from Jono, is just simply his presence. Somebody say amen. And so I'm excited about that. And 45 is okay so far, I guess. I don't know. You know, Pastor Joe tried to get me up this morning at 6 o'clock this morning and wanted me to go on his gym adventure and all this stuff. Why would I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning? I'm not doing it. It's my birthday. I'm sleeping in. And so I think, did you get up and go to the gym? Oh, 5 a.m., he said, and God bless you. That's what he said, 5 a.m., and God bless you. Well, glory, you know, glad you did. We're proud of him, aren't we, John? All right, well, if you've got a Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of wherever you want to, the book of Exodus. And I want to preach something today that I haven't did a lot. I haven't preached it very often, but I want to preach a message because we serve a miracle-working God. That is one of the things that we're going to talk about during these three hot nights, is that God is still in the miracle-working business. We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve an impotent God, but we serve a potent God. He's omnipotent. Amen. He's all-powerful. He's a God that is ever-present in your time of need. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere all at the same time. The same God that is standing right here in Grand Rapids is the same God that's in China right now. Somebody say amen. I mean, he's everywhere. You can't get rid of him. And we've got a miracle working God. And I love the Bible because the Bible just gives us so many miracles throughout it, God's Word. And one of the greatest miracles to me that he did numerous times is that he was in the business of parting waters. God was in the water parting business, and there are three main times that he parted the waters, and I believe with each example of the waters being parted are examples to us in the different levels of our life. The first time that he parts the water, you know, if you want to turn there, you can, but you know what it is. In Exodus chapter number 14, when God has finally delivered the people of Israel out of bondage. In Exodus 14, we know the story that the children of Israel had been captured by the Egyptians. They had been in bondage for over 400 years. They had been in bondage for so long that they no longer remembered their songs of Israel. They no longer remembered the songs of Zion. They no longer really remembered their... They were holding on by a thread to their history because of the bondage that they had been in so long. God raises up a man, you know the story, named Moses, and the story of Moses coming up in as a prince in the Pharaoh's courts. And you see Moses raising up, but there was a scratch inside of Moses called a burning bush. Amen. He had a burning bush experience with a God that was real. And God said, hey, you're to go in and tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. And we know the story. God sent all these plagues, and Pharaoh got jacked up, right? Got angry and finally said, let my people go. Okay, I'll let them go. And they begin to escape Pharaoh and the Egyptian bondage. And now we see Moses at this place. Finally, God spoke to him. God, he's not, you know, sometimes in our mind we think about God is delivering, you know, 300 people, you know, 500, maybe 1,000 people. This is a whole race of people, the Jews. It's about 3 million people. It's Moses' responsibility to lead out of Egyptian bondage. Could you imagine? It's hard to maintain a crowd like just this right here and get this group of people right in this room to get on the same page. But Moses had to get 3 million people on the same page and lead them out of bondage. They're going out of bondage. They're celebrating. They're on their way out, and they face this obstacle called the Red Sea. Could you imagine what the people must have felt? And the Bible is pretty clear about how they felt. They get to the Red Sea. They're about ready, and they're like, oh God, now what are we going to do? We are faced with this obstacle. And now the people are already being like, you brought us out here to die. Pharaoh is going to kill us. I can see the smoke of the chariots of the horses of Pharaoh coming to get us. And guess what? God asked Moses, like, Lord, did you bring us all the way out of bondage to let us stand right here? Because he's just standing there confused. And what did God say? We know the Bible says that God said, what is that you have in your hand? And he's like, I got this stick in my hand. I've got a rod in my hand. He says, stretch it out. And we know the story. The Bible says that he stretched it out over the sea, and the waters opened, and they were able to escape the hand of Pharaoh. Somebody say amen. Aren't you glad for the moments that you have been able to escape the hand of the enemy? The Lord will open up those waters, and this first time that he's opening up the water, to me, it represents our ability as sinners that we escape the hand of the enemy into salvation. Finally, the people were saved. They had escaped the hand of Pharaoh. They have walked through dry land. The Bible, I always think in my mind the movie, the old school movie, you know, where God's voice is speaking to Moses, 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 you know, and he's got the waters all parted on the sides, and it's all stacked up on the right and on the left, and Pharaoh's army was coming behind, and finally you see Moses and the children, millions of people crossing across on dry ground, coming to get saved and escaping the hand of the enemy. I don't know about you, but I thank God for all the times that I have been able to escape the hand of the enemy. I'm thankful that the day I'm saved, amen. I'm still thankful that when I was 8 years old, I bent my knee at a Baptist altar. Somebody say glory. And I said the sinner's prayer and shook the preacher's hand. Can you say amen? And I came down like many of you did years ago. I escaped bondage.
I escaped my slave driver. And when you are a sinner, you are a slave to sin. But when you escape the hand of the enemy, you no longer are a slave to sin, but you are now a child of the Most High God. I'm excited. That amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I'm glad that I got saved when I was 8 years old. Somebody say amen. I escaped the hand of the enemy. No longer a slave to sin. I escaped. I went through the waters and I escaped and I got saved. But you know what? I'm thankful to know tonight that there is more than just simply being saved. See, that's what a lot of people are do. They get on the other side, and the Bible says that they escape. The waters closed up on their past. See, when the waters closed up on Pharaoh, that was letting me and you know that when you get saved and you escape the hand of your adversary and your slave driver, the waters closed up and eradicated their past. The Pharaoh and all the king's men, all the horses have eradicated. See, some of you are paralyzed, though you're saved, though you have escaped the slave driver, you are still being held in bondage by your past. Somebody say amen. You ain't got to say it if you don't want to, but somebody say amen. Being held bondage because you are afraid that your enemies are going to come back on you. But you've got to understand the water has done closed up, and there's some good gospel news for you. Number one, the enemy can't get to you, and you can't go back to him. You ought to be escaped enough from the enemy that you can't even go back to where you used to be. You can't even get drunk like you used to get drunk. You can't even do the things that you used to do because the waters have closed up. You've escaped that old life, and now you have been brought into new life. Somebody say amen. But, you know, so many people just stay there. They stay just, I'm just glad I'm saved. And I've heard people say that over the years, Pastor Joe. I'm just glad I'm saved. You know what? I'm glad I'm saved too. Amen. But I'm glad that I have been saved for a purpose. I've been saved for a reason. I haven't just been saved just so that I can go to heaven. You've heard me say this many times before. Salvation is not the end. If the whole purpose was simply for you to be saved and go to heaven after you got saved, then God would allow you then to go to heaven. Remember, I went a little crazy on that one time. I was like, if I could have that ministry to just send all the saved folks to heaven, amen. If that could be my ministry to send them on to heaven, glory to God. I know you're thinking I'm crazy, but it's okay. I'd like to be, all right, you saved now, on your way, amen. But see, you're not saved just so that you can, it's just one thing to escape. But see, you've escaped something so that you could enter into something else. See, that's the second time that we see that God parts the waters. The first time is in the Red Sea. The second time, it was when Joshua was with the children of Israel. Moses, the Bible says in the very beginning of Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, the one that allowed you to escape is now dead. But there is another man in charge that's going to take you to another place. You've escaped, and thank God, but he's dead. In other words, escaping isn't enough. You've escaped to enter into something else. And the Bible says that Joshua got a word from the Lord, and the Lord says, I am giving you some things. I am giving you some land that every place, think about this. He says, every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, I am giving you the land. In other words, after you escape, there's some things to take. Amen. After you've escaped, there's some things for you to take. There has lands to be conquered. I am glad I'm saved, but now it's time for me to take a hold of some things.
And the Bible says in Joshua chapter number 3 that God began to speak to him. He says, after 3 days, the officers went through the camp and they went commanding, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall go out from your place and go after it. Go after what? The Ark of the Covenant and the Levites. What did the Ark of the Covenant represent? The presence of God. What did the Levites represent? The praise that would go around the covenant and the Ark of the Covenant, the praise of God. I'm telling you, we have escaped, and I'm glad about it. I'm glad to be saved, but now we've got to go after and follow the presence of God. We've got to pursue Him diligently so that we can go to the next level that God has prepared for each and every one of us. It says, follow the glory of God. That's what I'm in the business of doing. I'm in the business of getting to wherever the presence of God is. Wherever His glory is, that's where I want to be. Wherever His presence is, that's where I want to be. And if His glory ain't in the midst, you know, I don't want to be around that. I don't want to be around somebody that doesn't want to have the glory of God. I don't want to be anywhere where the glory of God is not. And if I do happen to show up where there is no glory, the atmosphere's got to change, because I'm in the building, amen. And I am one who gets a hold of the atmosphere, and I'm in charge of the atmosphere. And if I go into a place where there is no glory, Sam, by the time I show up, the glory is there, because I am a carrier of the glory of God. Oh, glory to God. His presence is in me. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? I am a carrier of the glory of God. And if you're saved and you're here in this room, you're a carrier of the glory of God. Somebody say amen. Put your hand on your belly and say, the glory's in here. Some of you got more glory than others, but the glory is in there. Amen. The glory of God is in there. You've got the glory inside of you. You've got the glory inside of you. You know, a lot of the times we'll come together in worship and we'll say, all right, Lord, we invite your presence to come down. Well, I've got to preach and tell you something. If you've showed up, you don't got to invite the presence of God, because the presence of God is dwelling on the inside of you. Why is it that we ask God's glory to come down? That don't make sense to me. God's glory is already here, and it's been made manifest in the fact that you're saved. The fact that you're saved is proof that the glory of God is in the room, because it was the glory of God that drawed you into Himself. You didn't get saved just because you wanted to. You got saved because the glory drew you. You were invited into Him. And now that you're saved, the Bible says that no longer does the glory of God dwell in the tabernacles made by men's hands, but now is dwelling inside of that old pot of clay called humanity. I'm glad to know, Felipe, that I'm a carrier of His glory. I don't look worthy. I don't look like I would be one that could carry something so magnificent. But I want you to know today, you are a carrier of the glory of God. You ought to act like it. You ought to shout like it. You ought to clap like it. You ought to give Him the glory like you've got the glory on the inside of you. He said, man, he said, when you see them coming, you better get behind those that are got the worship inside of them. Get behind the ones that are worshiping. Get behind the ones that are giving God the praise. Get behind the ones that are doing what God has said to do. And Joshua said, now sanctify yourself. In other words, set yourself apart. How many of you are believing that God is going to do something great in your life? Raise your hand. Well, if you believe that, then Joshua said, if you believe that there's a better way besides just escaping, that you've got to do something else, he says, sanctify yourself. In other words, get yourself ready. If you really believe that God is going to do something, get ready for it. Look at your neighbor and say, sanctify yourself. Just tell them, you know, I like you to talk. I like you to preach to your neighbor. Tell them, sanctify yourself. Get ready. Get ready. There was an old, there's a preacher named, y'all may not know this dude, but his name was T.D. Jakes. Is T.D. Jakes. And T.D. Jakes is a preacher. And this man can preach. And back in the day, he used to get real happy. And the organ would be back behind him. And he'd start slapping the back of his head while he was preaching. And he'd say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready, and just be shouting and just over and over and over and over and over. Get ready, get ready. But see, that's what God was telling them. Sanctify yourselves and get ready. Because tomorrow, he said, I'm going to do something amazing in your midst. Are you truly expecting God to do something great in your midst? Are you really ready for God to do a miracle? Are you really ready to handle the miracle that God is wanting to do in your life? Have you really sanctified yourself? Have you really set yourself apart? Have you really said, Lord, I'm ready. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you are, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do something great in your midst. And then he says, now follow the worshipers. Now y'all have already figured out by now, I love music. And if I'm going to throw something under the bus, I'm going to throw music under the bus. Woo, because I need somebody that knows how to worship. You know what I'm saying? I don't want somebody standing up there playing tiddlywinks. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. I don't even know the rest. That's all I know of that song. But I got to have somebody that is aggressively going into the presence of the Lord. When I stand on the front row in between while worship is going on, I've got to worship, lift up my hands, and praise and magnify the Lord. And when you see me on the front, you're just getting a picture of what I do on the regular. When Pastor Joe sent me a text this afternoon and said, I'm in the lobby waiting on you. Would you come down? I'm not always as quick to come down sometimes as he would like me to be, because sometimes I got to get myself right. This morning, this afternoon when he texted me and said I was here, I had to shut off my music because I had it wide open in my hotel room. I feel sorry for 604 or 404, and I feel sorry for room 408 because that's the rooms on both sides of 406. And I have to tell you, Miss Angie, I know that they want to get another room because there's a preacher in 406 with the music wide open. And I've got my praise on. Glory to God. I don't got to get my praise on when I show up at church. If you watch me, a lot of the times you see me looking around. And you may be wondering, why is he looking at me? It's because I know that I had done been praising God before I got here. And I'm wondering what you're doing. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, in the room today, his glory was so good. His presence was so wonderful. His manifested presence was great. Why? Because I know that God is preparing me for something greater than where I am today. This three hot nights just ain't for you. This three hot nights is for me too. Somebody say amen. He says, now sanctify yourself, prepare yourself, and wherever you see the glory, go after it. Man, I was telling Kai, I said, man, I'm so proud of the people of New Chapel today. Because when you hold an extra service, like a Monday night, as a pastor, you have no idea what's going to happen. You know you're praying all day, oh God, please let five people show up. You're like, God, in the name of Jesus. Your faith is weak when you've done it for the first time. You want to act like, oh, it's going to be packed, Pastor. I know the room's going to be packed. Glory. And I've been to those people, and there's five folks there. I'm like, well, glory. I'm going to preach like there's 5,000. Hallelujah. But I'm not coming back to the next revival. Somebody say amen. But I'm proud of you because why? Because we made a declaration that God's glory would be here. And you said, you know what? I believe you.
And here you are in the building tonight. I can't wait to see what God is going to do. I can't wait to see how you're going to go from one level of glory to another level of glory. I can't wait because you're in the building. You knew the glory of God was going to be there, and here you are pursuing it and going after it in Jesus' name. The Bible says that the priest went in. There's always an obstacle blocking you from one place to a next. But the Bible says the priest put the foot down with the glory of God on their shoulders. And the priest put their feet in. And the Bible says that the water opened up. And the children of Israel, they had escaped years ago, but they had not yet entered in to the promised land. See, being saved and going, you can go to heaven sick. Somebody say amen. You can go to heaven. Amen. Y'all already know what I'm about to say. I feel it in my soul. Y'all can say it with me. You can go to heaven broke, busted, and disgusted. Amen. But that's not what God's plan is for your life. He wants you to enter into his blessings. You can escape sin, but after you get saved, there is more to it. It's the blessings of God. We're ready to, how many of you are ready to be blessed? Amen. I know we can go to heaven sick. I know you can go to heaven broke. I know you can go to heaven depressed. I know you can go to heaven all kinds. You can go to heaven mad probably. I don't know. But do you want to? Not me. I want to enter into the promised land. The Bible says the river Jordan opened up. It was at high tide. It was a season in Israel where the river was extremely high and extremely dangerous. But the children of Israel walked over again on dry ground. They entered into the blessing. They escaped Pharaoh and entered into the promised land. You escape, then you enter in. And you enter into that blessing. You enter in, but in order to enter in, to get into that extra stuff, you do got to sanctify yourself. Somebody say sanctify. You got to set yourself apart. You got to take time out of your normal schedule. See, I have determined that if the cross doesn't interrupt your normal life, then are we really serving him? The cross is an interrupter. Amen. The cross is not just a little bling. We have downgraded the cross to a tattoo and a necklace. Somebody say amen. That's what we've downgraded it to. We now will celebrate it on our arm or around our neck. But the cross is an interrupter and an intersection. And if our lives are not being interrupted by our walk with God, then maybe, in fact, we don't have a walk. Man, all of a sudden. I better go back to Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and say to wretch like me, John O. Once was long, everybody was shouting like, glory, I remember that song when I was a kid. It's an interruption. But see, y'all can shout. Y'all don't have to get quiet. Y'all can shout because you're here on a Monday night. Amen. You've allowed your Hulu addiction to be interrupted, and you're here tonight. You've allowed your binging of that one show that you love, that you put it off until you get home tonight. Somebody say amen. Y'all, man, is he going to preach on Netflix? I might. Amen. But then I'm going to have to do something myself, so I'm going to leave that alone. Amen. Man, but we've got to interrupt so you can enter in. And once you've entered in, there's still yet more. Because, see, it's one thing. I love to be blessed. How many of you love to be blessed? It's better than being cursed, ain't it? I love to be blessed. I love to be physically blessed. I love to walk in healing. Somebody say amen. Walking in healing feels good because you're never sick, right? So it feels good to walk in healing. It feels good to walk in divine health. It feels good to be, I'm nearly debt-free. I'm only a few thousands away from being totally debt-free. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful to be free from your slave driver of debt? If you're in debt, you're enslaved. Man, that went up. That's really good. Amen. Part of being blessed is to be debt free. Hello? Hello, do I need to do a financial revival right now? I said part of being blessed is being debt-free. You wouldn't be arguing with your wife in the kitchen if you were debt-free. Somebody say amen. You wouldn't be struggling about giving $45 for a man that's got his birthday and he's 45 years old if you were debt-free. Somebody say amen. You wouldn't be struggling with that offering if you were debt-free. You'd have money to give.
Did you see how that just fell out there? Did you see that? Kai has already got her checkbook out, writing it for $45. Somebody say amen. If you want to do it $4,500, it's up to you. What, Angie, I see the Lord right now on your life. $4,500, glory. Anyway, we want to be blessed. We want to enter into those things. Amen. But see, after we enter in, there's another thing you got to do. Number one, you escape. Number two, you enter in. But in the book of Kings, there's another time where God parts the waters. And I've preached this a little bit. One of the last times that I was here, one of my favorite messages, and I could preach it every single time I go anywhere, and I could preach it in here again just because I like it so much, is, are you following a dumb thing? Y'all remember that sermon where you got to kiss some things goodbye? And in that story, we see that in the book of Kings, that the prophet and the glory of God comes down and it swoops up, Elijah. And the glory of God comes, swoops up Elijah. And then, do you see the mantle falls down? The mantle of the man of God falls down. His garment falls down. And then Elisha, he grabs a hold of the anointing and the power of the man of God, his mentor. I'm here to tell you it's important that you find a mentor, somebody, a man of God. Y'all have got a great man of God here. You've got a great man of God. Those of you that need discipleship, boy, get in a small group and get discipled. I've got to tell you, discipleship is not a class. It's a command from Jesus. I said discipleship is not a class. It's a command. Matter of fact, he didn't just say make. Jesus never said make converts. This is a little side note right here. This is going to be free. He didn't ever say make converts. He said make disciples. The reason nobody wants to say, I had one amen around here somewhere, and Pastor Joe, amen. I think Kaya said amen, but I think that's only four I got. Somebody said glory. But the reason we don't like the word discipleship is because it's compounded in there with discipline, and ain't nobody like discipline. Somebody say amen. I said nobody likes discipline. That's why there's very few disciples. Amen. But God says make disciples. Make people that are disciplined so that they could follow me. Make people who are disciplined. Think about Elisha. He was a disciple of Elijah. And before Elisha ever got a microphone, before Elisha ever did a miracle, before Elisha ever did anything significant for God that we read in God's word, he served the man of God for 13 years. Served the man of God, that, and you don't even get it, how what level of servant this guy was. You know they didn't have on kohans as shoes as they were walking around. They didn't wear Under Armours, amen. They only wore sandals. And one of the things that Elisha had to do as Elijah's servant is that after every journey, Elisha for 13 years had to get down and wash the man of God's feet. How many of you have a feet problem? Just raise your hand. You ain't gonna lie to you. Just raise your hand if you got a little bit of a feet problem. If I put my feet on you, you'd like punch me right now. No, like you don't like feet. You don't want anybody's feet on you. Amen. My wife's feet are okay, except one problem. They are usually the equivalent of putting an ice cube on your body. I'm like, my God, woman, what are you doing? Oh, see, I'm so sorry. You're not sorry. You've been doing this 18 years. You're doing this on purpose. My word. I mean, feet are fine. I don't mind. But my word, put them in a heater or something. Put them in some socks.
But for 13 years, he washed the man of God's feet. For 13 years, he served the man of God. For 13 years, everywhere the man of God went, as a matter of fact, I've said it before, the man of God tried to get rid of him a few times. And he said, no. Some of you are like, well, Pastor Joe's really hard to get a hold of. He never answers his phone. Welcome to my world. Somebody say amen. Known him his whole life. Okay. But I keep calling and keep blowing his phone up until I get through. Amen. I could call President Trump and get a hold of him before I could get a hold of this man, but I keep on calling anyway. Somebody say amen. And you got to keep pressing and keep pursuing and keep going after 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 and keep going after. Keep pursuing discipline. Keep pursuing discipleship. Keep pursuing the Word of God. Keep pursuing God and saying, I am not leaving your side. I am not walking away from you. I'm not going to get away from this Word. I'm not going to get away from the Word of God. I'm going to hold it close to me. I'm going to be like David. And David said, your word have I hidden in my heart so that I will not sin against you. Oh, I got to tell you, you've got to fall in love with the word if you're going to go through the next level. You've got to fall in love with the Bible if you're going to go to the next level. I'm afraid that the modern day church has a great deficit among many deficits. But the greatest deficit that the modern day church has, it does not have any disciples. It does not have any people that are truly committed to the Word of God. They're not committed to prayer. They're not committed to knowing what the Bible truly says. They're simply satisfied with the Sunday morning delivery of God's Word, and they never crack open their Bible for the rest of the week. And no wonder that you're depressed and down, and no wonder you're struggling, because we have a lack of discipline in the body of Christ. But I've got to preach and tell you today that as a result of three hot nights, I pray that you get a passion for God's Word. I pray that you decide in your mind, I can't live without His Word. I can't live without the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. I've got to have the Word of God. And if Pastor Joe won't answer his phone, that's not a big deal, because I've got the main line to Jesus. Jesus is on the main line, and I'll tell Him what I want. And I've got a Bible. I've got a Bible. I've got a Bible. I've got a Bible. Oh, Pastor, do you have a word for me? Pastor, do you have a word for me? I know, yeah, but me and Pastor Joe, people come up to me all the time. You got a word for me? I say, yeah, Ephesians. I got these young, Kobe, I got these young pastors and these young people calling me all the time. What book are you reading today? Romans. They want to know what new book I'm reading. I ain't got Romans down pat. I don't care what these other people are writing. Well, I just wanted to get a book for a devotional. You need to read the Bible. Oh, my God, I feel something coming on me right now. Amen. I said, I feel something coming. Well, I want to get a little devotion, and so I can have my little egg timer and do my egg timer Bible reading, and pull out my fortune cookie Bible verse. Amen. And I want to have a little devotion. No, what you need to do is get out of the Bible bookstore and read your Bible. Are you here? You're here. Amen. Amen. Give me five if you know it's true. Amen. Somebody say glory. You got to have a desire for God's word. You want deliverance? Here it is. You want a miracle? Here it is. You want freedom? Here it is. You want to get the Holy Ghost? Here it is. You want to have God speak to you? Here it is. I need a word from God. If you want a word from God, then wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning after you get out of the gym, open up your Bible and read the Bible out loud, and that'll be God speaking to you. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. I was telling Pastor Joe about my mom. Granny Pink is crazy. I don't know where I get it from. And we went to a church for a long time that every single Sunday morning
the praise and worship leader would get up and she'd be hollering. I mean, straight up from the word go. The band starts playing and she'd go to hollering because we went to a good Pentecostal church, so a lot of good hollering going on. And she'd get up every morning or every Sunday and she'd say, "My God, when I woke up this morning, the Lord spoke to me. And I wish that you'd have heard what he said." And every morning, every Sunday, I wish you'd have heard what he said in my bathroom. I wish you would have heard what he said in my car on the way to church. I wish you would have heard what he said to me when I was arguing with my husband. I wish you would have heard what he said to me when I was slapping my kid upside down. Every Sunday, she was talking about the Lord speaking to her. You know what my mama said? She goes, "Well, if the Lord is speaking to her that much, wouldn't the Lord tell her to wear a sports bra while she's up there leading praise and worship?" Say amen. If the Lord's speaking to her that much, wouldn't he tell her to hold it in a little bit while she's up there praising God? I mean, if you're hearing God that clear, come on, somebody say amen. Glory to God. Shame the devil. Tell the truth. If God's talking to you that much, he ought to be giving you practical things for your life. Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Man, we need to get in the Bible. You're like, "You need to get in the Bible, Pastor. You need to get in the Bible." Amen. We got to get in the Word of God. You don't need some sort of fresh word. People leave churches all the time. "Well, I just don't feel like they're getting a fresh word from the Lord." What are you talking about? Open the Bible. It's fresh. It's living. It's never dusty except if you don't use it. Somebody say amen. There's a fresh word in here for you even right now. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. When I wake up in the morning, I've got him on my mind. When I throw my feet around the side of the bed, he's on my mind. Why? Because I don't just want to escape. I don't just want to enter into blessings. I want to be empowered. He grabs the mantle of Elijah. He doesn't just hold it. See, a lot of y'all got filled with the Holy Ghost on Sunday. Somebody say amen. I'm happy that we got a church here that still believes in people being filled with the Holy Ghost and power. I'm here to tell you right now, you're blessed to be in a church that still believes in the Holy Ghost. I said, you're blessed, Angie. I'll talk to you because I know you know what I'm talking about. Ain't you blessed to be in a church that still believes in the Holy Ghost? Because some of these Pentecostal quote, hashtag thanks to Pentecostal, somebody say amen, who think that they still, because they got a Pentecostal name, that they're Pentecostal and that they're Spirit-filled. But I'm here to tell you, there are churches that claim to be Spirit-filled, but they don't have the testimony of New Chapel. They couldn't remember the last time somebody had came down to an altar of prayer and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There ain't no Holy Ghost in the room because they don't talk about it anymore. But I thank God we've got a pastor and we've got a church right here in New Chapel that can testify and say 25 folks got filled with the Holy Ghost on Sunday with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We still believe that there's a God that is able. Glory to God. Glory to God. I was getting an interview one time. I was getting an interview to be a pastor for a church up in Louisiana. That's all I'll say about it in case somebody watching the video. And it was a video interview. And it was like the Sanhedrin was interviewing me. Chase Ables, Jonathan, was sitting next to me during the interview, but because of the way I had the thing, they couldn't see my friend. And there were all these deacons of this church and a youth pastor were interviewing me. And they was asking me all these ridiculous questions. And, you know, wanting me to be their senior pastor, not youth pastor, senior pastor. And they were asking me all these questions. And then finally, they got down to asking me, the youth pastor decided he was going to ask me a question. Now, understand, I had been preaching longer than he'd been breathing. And this cat's going to ask me a question, interviewing me about if I could be his senior pastor.
And he asked me about the 16 fundamental truths, which are the 16 doctrinal statements of the assemblies of God. And he said, what do you think about the 16 fundamental truths? I said, I think they're wonderful. What do you think about them? And he says, well, I see. Hold on. See, I know what that is. That's that shut up music. I know what that is. I know what time it is. This is three hot nights. Y'all might not get home till midnight. The only place will be open will be IHOP. I'm so sorry about that. Somebody say amen. I saw her get up and go back to her. I was like, I know what they're getting ready to do. It's time to play the shutdown music. Man, I'm only on point three. I got seven. Bless God. No, this is the last. What'd you say? give a pancake praise at the International House of Prophecy. Somebody say amen. And they asked me this question, and I said, well, what do you think about the 16 fundamental truths? Well, I think that they're awesome. I said, no, you don't. Sanhedrin's like, huh? He's a youth minister. I said, well, the 16 fundamental truths, I think it's number 7 that talks about the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I said, I've done did some research on you and know that you haven't had anybody filled with the Holy Ghost in your youth group in about a year. And he's like, I said, so I want you to know, if I become senior pastor, you'll be the first to go. Because you don't even believe in the Holy Ghost no more. If we've ever lived in an age where young people and old people alike need the empowerment of the Holy Ghost, we're living in that time right now. We don't have time for limp-wristed, noodle-backed, sissified Christians. We need some Christians that have got the Holy Ghost, Samuel. We need some Christians that have got the boldness of God on the inside of them. And the only way you can get that is take the anointing of the Most High God and allow him to use you. They opened up the river and he was empowered by the Holy Ghost. He was empowered by the Holy Ghost. And the other prophets said, man, you are the man of God. The God of Elijah is on you. Empowerment. You escape, you enter in, and finally, you're empowered. And that's what Three Hot Nights is all about. The empowerment of the believer. The empowerment of walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. A boldness that'll come upon you to where you will no longer take no for an answer. Young people, you need the boldness of the Holy Ghost to look the devil in the eye and those friends and say, no, I ain't got time for all that. I'm a Holy Ghost man. See, I have to come up with other ways, John O, to describe who I am to people, because using the word Christian now is not enough. Because everybody is Christian. I said everybody's a Christian. And if you ain't a Christian, you're a Catholic. Somebody say amen. Am I right about it? I said, am I right about it? Am I right? Either a Christian or a Catholic, it doesn't even matter. I mean, saying I'm a Christian is just like saying, well, I'm white. No kidding. So see, I come up with other things. People say, are you a Christian? I just say no. They're like, what? Were you a Mormon? No. Were you Jehovah's Witness? No, I said, I'm a Holy Ghost man. I'm a man of the way. Before they were called Christians, they were called the followers of the way. I'm a way man. I'm a Holy Ghost man. I would tell my friends, I'd look them square in the eye and say, I'm a Holy Ghost man. They'd say, are you at one of them churches that handle snakes? Well, we might. Some of y'all will run so fast, that would be the funniest. Hey, pull it up on YouTube. People handle snakes in church. It's absolutely the scariest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. They're up there shouting, holding a rattlesnake. I'm like, dude, you are crazy. That was my cousin in Kentucky. Praise the Lord. Hope you're watching. Okay, so. But you are empowered. Say, I'm an empowered man. I'm a Holy Ghost man. Or woman, whatever.
Glory to God. You've got to be empowered. Why be average when average is so easy? Be empowered. The empowerment of the Holy Ghost. The empowerment of His Spirit. And that man, Elisha, after being empowered by the Spirit of God, the Bible says that he performed twice as many miracles as his mentor. Plus one. Amen. Twice as many plus one. That's the kind of God that we serve. He was able to do twice plus one. What was the last one? I'll just throw this on you for fun. Elisha was dead. They killed him. Threw his body. He got thrown into this valley. Many years later, a battle was going on. And a soldier in the middle of battle took it to the heart. Fell back into this valley where Elisha's bones were. And the moment that that dead soldier's dead, limp body fell back on those bones of that prophet, that man of God, the Bible says that that dead man popped up alive. Could you imagine of being so empowered that you are empowered down to your bones? That even after you were dead, you still had enough lingering anointing to raise the dead. I tell people all the time, I've said it here probably 100 times, I'll say it 101 times, that if you happen to drive up and you see me out on the side of the road with blood gushing out my head and I'm dead, and you ain't got enough Holy Ghost to get me up, don't worry about it. Just put my hand on my own head and I'll get myself up. Somebody say amen. Just take my dead hand and just pop it up. Oh, amen. I got to be careful, amen. I'll knock myself out in the Holy Ghost. You got to be careful. Empowered so much down to the bones. We need a down to the bones empowerment. That's what we need. That you get so empowered down to your bone, down to your skeleton. Down so much, Samuel, that the glory of God is on you so strongly. I've read stories of men and women of God, of Smith Wigglesworth, where he would get on a train and get on a train to go from here to there to go preach, and he'd sit in the train and people would just be fell out under the power as he sit down on a train. Could you imagine just sitting down? I think about it on the airplane. I think it'd be so funny if I was sitting down in my little seat in the airplane, people just fall out when I sit down. Because of the glory of God so strong. Amy Simple McPherson walked in such a strong anointing. They recorded about her walking into a restaurant after a service, and even the waiters would fall down weeping in the presence of God because the glory of God was on her so strong. Could you imagine just showing up in such a way that people's lives were affected by you just showing up? The book of Acts talks about it just like that. The book of Acts talks about Peter and John said that people were even gathering up just to get down in their shadow. And they were healed. Demons were driven out of people by just passing over them. Could you imagine? People getting deliverance just... See, that is the freedom... See, we want to wrestle people that are demon-possessed. I could tell y'all stories. We'd be in here laughing for another 35 minutes, cracking up about how many times I've seen people try to cast devils out of other people, and the person with the demon, like, whoop up on these people. Like, throw them against the wall, crazy stuff. And I'm like, what is going on? This is not WWE. Jesus never, though that would be good. Jesus never, ever had to wrestle a demon out. He just stood and looked at him and always had a few words, shut up and come out. I like that version of casting out demons where I can just tell them, shut up and come out. That's really the way I counseled when I was a youth pastor. I had the shortest counseling appointments ever, Kaya. They short.
extremely short. They short. People are like, how can you counsel? You know, they say, what's your schedule? I said, I'm counseling 15 people today. They're like, how in the world are you able to counsel 15 people in one day? I said, it's simple. I said, like, I just have a revolving door. They don't even have time to sit down. They come in and say, well, Pastor Pete, I just say, shut up, come out next. Y'all like, well, I was going to call you this week to see if you had some time and maybe we could meet, but never mind. How many of you glad to have escaped? You glad that you escaped? Most all of us in this room, I would say, have escaped. The next is, not everybody has entered in. You're saved, but you haven't really begun to enter into those blessings. And then if you haven't entered into the blessings, then we for sure haven't entered into, because you got to enter in and then you got to be empowered. I want to enter in so that I can be empowered, don't you? Can you stand up to your feet? It's only 8:29 if you're taking medicine. My Lord, I'm telling you, I'm just warming up. Not tonight. Don't get nervous. Well, y'all know last Sunday morning, my goodness, I was telling John, I said, my Lord, I straight up threw a wrench in the whole thing on Sunday. We didn't get out of here till 12:49. No, that's what time I gave up the microphone was at 12:49. I turned around, Pastor, I was looking for Pastor Joe, and he was standing right there. Y'all saw it, and then as soon as I turned around, he like reached out like with his hand like this. That means microphone. And I just kept walking, you know. Like, praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you want. Glory to God. But I'm ramping up. I'm ramping up in my own level of expectation for what God is going to do on Tuesday. Man, look at this crowd. I'm still in shock of y'all. Y'all make me happy. I just see you, and this is wonderful. You see, this is yet the beginning. Man, we had, what, 12 folks down here in prayer? Which I was surprised that we had 12. I figured it'd just be a few. But 12 is a grip. And you had to get off work, get cleaned up, and come. So I say thank you. I say thank you to you. Because you didn't have to, but you did. Why? It's just like those dancers sang or danced about, Lord, give me that fire. Lord, give me that fire. I was in my room. And I know that room 404 and room 408 was wondering, what is that dude talking about? Because I'm in my room hollering, Lord, give me that fire. Lord, give me that fire. And I got a knock on my door. Now, you know they don't do this. This woman with a clipboard is knocking on my door. And I'm like, Lord, give me that fire. And then I tune up in there like, oh, Lord, give me that fire. I mean, I'm just cracking my own self up while I'm in there. And, you know, just give me that fire. You know, I'm getting that soul train going on in there. Give me that fire. And I'm just doing it. And I get this knock on the door. And she got the clipboard, and I open the door and say, yeah. And she goes, well, I just wanted to check and see if your room was clean. Like, you know my room was clean. You know it clean. My room one first runs they clean because they start down there at 401 and work their way. The cart's down there. You know it's clean. What'd you want? Well, I just heard a little something. I said, you heard long in that fire. You better go, girl. You gonna get burned. You hang on around in room 406. She took off. She won't be back. It's all right. It's all right. Amen. How many of you say, Pastor P, I know I need to enter in. I need to enter into the blessings of the Lord. You know that. You know that. Whether you need to enter in the area of finances, whether you need to enter in the area of wisdom. How about that? That'd be all of us raising our hands, right? We need to enter into the level of self-esteem, where the low self-esteem is disabling you from being able to function correctly in the kingdom of God. You need to enter in and be a better parent. Somebody ought to say amen.
You need to enter in so you will quit being your kid's friend and actually like be their parent. Anybody in the room? I had my eyes closed, but I had to open it up so I could see somebody. You know what I'm saying? Want to be a parent, not a friend. Just want to be their friend. That's your wrong. You got the right to be wrong. Somebody say amen. Amen. Got to enter in. And then after we enter in, we got to be empowered so that that glory, that power get down into your bones. Just a bone anointing. Amen. Down in the bone. Down deep in the bone. Glory to God. Get it down in your bones so deep that when there's an opportunity to give, you just a crazy giver, a hilarious giver, where when you give, you're like, I can't believe I just done that. Somebody say amen. Like, what in the world did I just do? That's the good kind of giving. Amen. That's when you know revival is hitting, when people start giving hilariously. Don't worry, I'm not going to take up an offering. Y'all say, uh-oh, here comes that offering. Here it comes. No, when a hilarious giving starts happening, you don't even have to ask, it just starts happening. Amen? Glory to God. What I would like for you to do, and we can dismiss if you want to, but what I want us to do, those of you who raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want to enter in. I want to enter into those blessings. I want to enter in. I want you to come down here to the front, into the altar area. Those of you who said, man, I want to enter in. I know I need to. I'm saved, but I want to enter into some deeper things. Just come on down if you want to enter in. Glory to God. Then, of course, I mean, everybody, my Lord, so spread out over like this way, over here. That'll let everybody get in. Man, we got ourselves a crowd around here tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then, of course, the next thing is, you know, you want to be empowered. You want to be empowered by the Holy Ghost. Amen. You escaped, and we're glad about it. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Old church used to say, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and fire baptized. Amen. That's where I came from. I came from that church. You know what I'm saying? I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and fire baptized. Kind of scary when you think about it, but that's where I came from. And then be empowered. Be empowered by His Spirit. How many business owners do we have in here right now? You own your own business. Anybody own your own business in here? Business owner here, right there. business owner. Who else? Your business owner. Glory to God. Man, wouldn't it be wonderful for your business to be so blessed that anytime a need came up, you're just like, well, here it is. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be amazing? Whenever a need comes, you say, well, there it is. All right, next. That's why God's raising up men and women of God to have their own businesses so they can just bless the kingdom. It don't just fall out of heaven. The only city that comes out of heaven from God is the holy city in the book of Revelation. Everything else we got to pay down. Somebody say amen. We want to enter into the blessing of the Lord. And I see a grip of hungry folks right here in this room. Man, Pastor Joe, aren't you happy to see a group of people here on this first night of three hot nights? How many of y'all gonna bring somebody with you tomorrow night? You just came, you got somebody that's coming with you tomorrow night. You got a plan. I got more coming. Don't worry, Pastor. This thing's getting ready to grow. Bring a little more. Amen. Won't that be good? And then they're gonna bring somebody, then to get those folks to bring somebody with them. Lift up your hands. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands and let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, come on, lift up your voices.
Jesus, my Savior, you reign forever.
Hallelujah. Mouth.
You reign forever.
Give him the glory.
Your name is great. Your name is great. Forever. Your name is great. Your name is great. Jesus, my Savior. You reign forever. Your name is great.
Hallelujah.
Your name is great.
Glory to God. Come on, just lift your hands and just open up your mouth. Just begin to declare how good He is. Open up your mouth and say, God, you've been good. Open up your mouth and give God a hallelujah. Open up your mouth and give Him a glory. Open up your mouth and say, Lord, I love you. Oh, come on. God. Glory to God. Go on and praise Him. Go on and give Him a hand clap. Go on and give Him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I dare you to clap your hands. I dare you to clap your hands. I dare you to clap your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you. Now tomorrow, I don't know. You know, I really never know. You know, I'll confess something to you. I really never know what I'm going to preach until I know, Angie. I know you're shocked. Until really, basically, when I get up here. Okay, so, but I do got a thinking in my mind, and I may change. So don't hold me to it if I do decide to change my mind. But you know, just the clapping of your hands. You know, just that action. That's a spiritual thing. I said, that's a spiritual thing. Pastor Joe, that's a spiritual thing. To clap your hands. Not just because the music's good or whatever. There are spiritual components tied to your clap. Woo. Ain't that something? There's something tied to it. When you clap your hands, something tied to it in the spirit. There's something tied to it when you shout, open up your mouth and you shout. There's something tied to something spiritual that happens when you holler. That's what we say down south, when you holler. Something tied to it. Something tied to it when you jump. You sometimes be like, he just wants to, you know, do our, you know, calisthenics right here, you know, get my cardio on for Jesus. Well, that's all right, because how many of you know some of us need it? Somebody say amen. But there's things tied to it, and I think, that I just, as I'm looking at y'all and I'm thinking about tomorrow's message and thinking about what God wants to do, I'm thinking that I'm going to preach a message on why we do it.
Not just because we just got some good music and think clapping, it feels good in the moment. No, why do we clap? Why do we jump? Why do we shout? Why do we lift our hands and put it in the atmosphere? Why do we do the things we do? And see, I promise you, if you know why, you'll be more effective when you do it. Man, if you knew why you really clapped and what that really means, boy, you'd be clapping all the time. People would like think you're nuts. Amen. You put them hands together. And see, it's more than just a clapping because of music. More than that, no, there's things tied to it in the spirit realm. And I've got it in my mind, and I got to get it down in my soul and into my spirit. Man, I believe tomorrow we may just bust loose and preach on that, on these subjects of why we do what we do. Because, man, I'm not going to go to the first church of the Frozen Chosen. Somebody say glory. I ain't going to that church. Amen. And you ain't at that church. I'm not going to go to the first church of the Frozen. I'm going to go to a church that is actively obeying the commands of the Word of God. And the commands of the Word of the Lord says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. And you don't have to figure out how to do it. The Bible tells you exactly what to do. See, I mean, I'm thanking God for the Bible. It tells you exactly what to do. We may get down with that tomorrow. I said, we may get down with that tomorrow. I mean, get down was just a... So y'all better get a good night's rest tonight. Because tomorrow we're going to get down to the get down. We're going to clap. We're going to shout. Somebody may pull out their dancing shoes. Man, look, how many of you ever went to the club before you got saved? Raise your hand. Don't lie. You in church. How many of you ever been to a club? Raise your hand. I want to see the clubbers. You've never been to the club, Pastor Joe. You were saved, Joe. I popped out Baptist, so I know I was saved. Somebody say amen. And so, you know, you in the club acting a fool, but guess what? You don't have to stop acting that way. You're just doing it for Jesus. Doing it for Jesus. Somebody said, I haven't stopped dancing. I just changed partners. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. I ain't stopped dancing. Just changed partners. Amen. You know when you're in the club, you dance with an ugly woman. Well, with that said, when you get intoxicated, you do things that you would not normally do. And what I'm saying is when you get empowered by the Holy Ghost, because sometimes people will be like, well, it's not my personality. We'll address that tomorrow. Amen. What I would like for you to do as I pass off the microphone to Pastor Joe is I want you to give the Lord, first of all, bring somebody with you tomorrow. Somebody say amen. Get on your Facebook, and instead of putting your business that you ate a grilled cheese at 8:31 p.m., we don't care. Get on there and tell somebody to come to church. Amen. Get on there and blow up. And all your little friends that ain't here that's connected, say, you should have been there. And they're going to be like, what happened? Don't tell them, though. And get them to come back to tomorrow to find out for themselves. Amen. I want to count to three. When I get to three, I want you to give God the best hand clap of praise, like Michigan's going to have a good year this year. Somebody say amen. The count of three, one, two, three, give Jesus a hand clap. Thank you, God.
Stay just right where you're at. It's going to make it easier for us to move on to the next stage. We're right at halftime. We have another couple hours to go. Just kidding. We ain't even at halftime. This is only the first night. There's two more hot nights, and I want to talk to you for just a second about this. Tomorrow night, God gave me this during worship that I'm supposed to do this. I'll be in the room during worship. I'm going to introduce Pastor Tommy, but God put a word in my heart for the elementary classroom and the preschool classroom, and I hope you'd give me permission to be able to leave the room in capable hands and let me go back there and preach to our young people. Is that okay? I got a message in my heart that I So bring your kids, bring your young people. We're excited about what God has. And guys, this is just the beginning. The band is going to raise it up. We're going to worship again. And if you want to stay in this room and worship and consecrate your heart to God, never forget that first parting of the waters was salvation. But the second was all about sanctification, separating yourself. And some of you guys still came in here with a lump. You still got a thing. You still have anxiety. You still have a problem. You still have this thing. And it's like, God, if this was taken care of, everything would be out of the way and I'd be free. Don't leave until you wrestle that thing down. Worship it out. And that's what revivals are for, somebody. Amen? So that's what we're going to do in this room. You can leave if you just want to hang out and eat. We got some red hot snacks for you. No, we do not take communion with Cheetos. If anyone asks me again, I'm not serving them tomorrow, but all this week we're going to have some red hot candies and fun stuff out there. Hang out with people and listen, it's past your kids' bedtime. Who cares? Y'all let them stay up crazy when you're at Grand Haven. Let them stay up. This is good for them to be at church and experience. Like, why are we staying up so late? Because mommy and daddy want a sincere, dynamic, incredible, powerful, life-changing relationship with the real Jesus. Say amen, somebody. Amen. And so let me do this. I'm excited for tomorrow night, but I don't want to overstay our welcome. I want you to get home tonight and eat your Cheetos and grab a bag, a little praise offering, a little heat offering on the way home. But be back here tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Everybody say 7. Let me pray for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, be gracious to you, and give you his peace. And as you go, Father, we love you.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.